Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Stream every pitch of Braves spring training and the fans' flagship coverage from Northport exclusively on the 680 The Fan app. Plus, get access to show replays and your favorite fan podcasts. All from WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey broadcasting station, the home of the Braves, The Fan, and The Fan app. The Georgia Tech conversation continues. As we bring you the good word, Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard are talking all things Georgia Tech. As they set the plate for the coming week, talk with Georgia Tech insiders and get you up to speed on all things Yellow Jackets. Now, the good word.
And it's live from Hattie B's here in Midtown. You want the address? I'll give you the address. It's 711 10th Street Northwest here in the ATL. Come on out and join us, won't you? As we lead you up to 7 p.m., tonight on the FAN, 680, 93.7 FM, 680thefan.com, of course. Don't forget to tap that app. 680 The Fan's app will bring you the Damon Stoudemire Show at 7 p.m. till 8 p.m. tonight. Andy Demetral will join him for the show as well. Alongside Wiley Ballard, I'm Chris Mooneyham. Appreciate you being with us. Again, in all seriousness, come on down to Hattie B's and join us. The Nashville Hot is on the skillet. The tea is sweet. I've already tested it. 711 10th Street Northwest. How are you, Wiley?
I'm doing well, Mooney. And I think you've got a pulse on every square inch of this place.
I mean, I do.
You've inspected all the nooks, all the crannies. You've got a real firm grasp of this location.
I hit both men's bathrooms just to see if they're the same.
I think one of those may not have been a men's bathroom.
No, they have four bathrooms down back there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Two
you do.
Men's,
okay.
And I wanted to make sure they're the same.
All right. Well, the general rule of thumb is there's two bathrooms. Okay,
I know what you mean.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm on it.
You like I said, you know this better
crannies.
Than I do.
Nooks and
crannies
and
covered.
Crannies.
But yeah, man, I'm good. Jackets have won 2 out of 3 in basketball. Got the bye week during the week. One more home game, and you know, March is around the corner. And look, I mean, we all know there's only one way Georgia Tech is getting to the NCAA tournament at this point. That would be having a special ACC tournament. But
sure.
I still think there are reasons to tune in, not just this Saturday for Senior Day. But really the next couple of weeks to see, okay, you know, what are the final impressions this group is going to make? And so far there have been some good ones with a couple of wins here, especially one on the road. And, look, I know Miami's in a bit of a free fall right now. But
wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little wild.
I'd love to know the last time a Jim Larrañaga team lost 6 in a row. I mean, it's been a while.
The law of averages told me, and I hate to say this out loud, but, I mean, the honest truth was law of averages told me no way we'd go down to Coral Gables and get that win. But – there you go.
Well, here's the thing. After seeing Georgia Tech beat North Carolina the way they did, I said, laws of averages don't apply. I was like,
okay,
hey, I'm giving those laws of averages a break for like 3 months. We'll come back to those maybe during baseball season or something, but for college basketball, no, not doing it.
Well, college football as well.
Yes.
I should have learned my lesson.
Yes.
You're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
Not always.
It's a Spaceballs reference. Do you know? All right, let's have our annual show weekly movie talk.
What'd you say?
Spaceballs. He's looking at me like he...
What is that? Like
Mel Brooks, thank you.
You're telling
Miller
me,
Pope, see, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer.
Hold on,
right
relax.
There.
I was deking you. I got yogurt. I got barf with John Candy. I'm on it. I was just deking you.
Oh, he was.
I was just, you know. And
you totally had me.
Yeah, I got you.
Not in here, mister. This is a Mercedes. I'm sorry. Great job. You really got me.
Yeah, beat me up, Scotty.
Oh, man. So it was an 80-76 win this weekend over Miami. We're going to skip the Clemson game, by the way.
Sounds good.
Okay, good. This was, in so many ways, a microcosm, though, of the season. Because you saw something that may have been surprising. Man alive, did they play so well in this ball game and really responded to the comments that Damon Stoudemire made last week.
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. One, the first thing that jumps out to me is the way they shot the ball. Mm. To be honest with you, Mooney, we sat here in November and December, and it took me a while to concede that this team wasn't going to shoot as well as I thought it was. And they've still had some good days, but the team we saw on Saturday, you know, Miles Kelly going 7 for 11 from 3. You had Kawasi Reeves, you know, chiming in as well, going 3 for 7 from 3, you know, 6 for 11 from the floor. I thought this was who Georgia Tech was going to be this year. I think the thought going into the season was, okay, the defense may take a step back from where it was under Josh Pastner, but the offense is going to be leaps and bounds improved. And I still think we've seen improvement offensively. But Miles Kelly, that's who I thought Miles Kelly was going to be all season long. I'm excited to see that he had it in him on Saturday. And as you look ahead the next year, you know, hopefully that gives him some confidence going into the offseason where he can have a bounce-back year next year. So I was, first off, encouraged by that. Secondly, Kyle Sturdivant, he's hit some big free throws this year. Huge in that win over UMass out in Hawaii. Hit four big ones there in the final 40 seconds as well. And I don't know if it's a positive that you're able to win despite not having a field goal in the final 7 minutes. But what I will say is, you know, a week ago we talked a lot about how Georgia Tech just, for whatever reason, the defense in the second half could not get the job done. I mean, you looked at the giving up over 40 points a game in the second half against an ACC opponent, and on Saturday they held Miami under 30. Now, granted, the Canes scored 49 in the first half, but able to turn up the defense in the second half, to me, was a sign of progress for this group. Because, look, I mean, in most games in this league, most games in basketball, it's going to come down to, you know, what happened in the second half. It's hard to get that separation through 20 minutes.
We talk so much about the rebounding for this club, of which Georgia Tech has out-rebounded their last three opponents by an average of more than 10 per ball game, 41-39, the advantage over Miami. They also out-rebounded Clemson, even in the loss. Syracuse as well in that dominating affair where they out-rebounded the Orange by 20-25 rebounds, somewhere in that swing zone. Also distributing the basketball, 22 assists versus the Hurricanes, the most for the Jackets since their season high back in December versus Penn State. I think that number was, let me make sure, I've got it here in my notes that I got from Stamos here, 25 versus Penn
John
State.
John Stamos?
Yes.
Yes.
Big Tech fan. Tech posted its third highest efficiency rate this season, by the way. First time over 1 point per possession since the NC State game in earlier this month. Those are three numbers that we've come to talk about in such great detail throughout this 23-24 season. But specifically, I wanted to get your thought on the high efficiency rate for this club. Clean basketball, distribution of the basketball, easy for me to say. For long stretches in this ball game, down at Watsco, they look like a bit of a different team, or more precisely, look like the team that we've seen when they've gone through the good stretches.
And I look a lot at Nate George right now. I mean, again, I know it's only 5 points, took five shots, but six assists, only two turnovers. Kyle Sturdivant, you know, playing like a guy who's played a lot of college basketball. I know he didn't shoot it particularly well, but seven assists, one turnover. It goes a long way when you can take care of the basketball and when you have not one, but two-point guards playing at a high level. And there have been times this year, whether it's been Nathan George hasn't quite had it here recently, or Kyle Sturdivant's a little slow, when you got two guys that you can interchange in and off the bench and have fresh legs. I mean, I know Nate played 35 minutes on Saturday, so it wasn't like he get a whole lot of bench time.
But great, by the way.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but
great.
But having both those guys on the floor, too, I mean, I think that really helps this offense. And to Georgia Tech's credit, they didn't blink when Miami came out at the start of the game and was knocking down a lot of shots. They hung in there. They didn't try and do too much, which I think at times this year has been a challenge for this offense, guys trying to do a little more than their share.
Jackets only used eight players, to your point about Nate playing the 35 or 36 minutes?
I got him here at 35.
35 minutes, yeah. Jackets only used eight players in the ball game in totality, second time this year they've done that. Matched a season high in 3-point field goals made, knocked down 15 from six different players who hit the 15 three-pointers. Nice shooting night in so many ways.
Can I throw another number at you, too?
I wish you would. Well, I mean, we're inundating the audience with numbers now. Let's just keep going.
Tafari Kapari, okay? I'm just going to give you some 7 points, three rebounds, assist, block. It's pretty, I don't want to say pedestrian, but, you know, not going to jump off the box score. I like plus-minus in basketball a lot. I know it's traditionally a hockey stat. Maybe it's because I grew up playing hockey and I like plus-minus. Tafari Kapari, plus 15. And I think that just, again, goes to tell you the impact he has by his sheer length and presence on the floor. It might not be a pass he deflects, but it's a pass they don't even attempt because of his length. You know, it might not be a shot block, but it might be a shot that he just rejects from the moment the shooter thinks about shooting. Therefore, that shot's not taken. And as I looked at the 2024-25 season for Georgia Tech, I would circle Tafara Gapari's name as maybe the key for the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
If he can take a jump, he's got a lot of work to do. Coach Stoudemire is, was joking about how I'm sure Tafara, I'm the guy he hates in a post-game press conference this week. But if Tafara can make good use of the next 6, 7, 8 months and take that big jump, because here's the other piece of this too, and Damon's talked about it. You know, he arrived at UMass late, didn't play a whole lot there his freshman year. Got the Georgia Tech, wasn't 100% healthy. This feels in some ways like this is his freshman year. And so I'm almost looking for a freshman and sophomore jump from him, even though on paper it'd be sophomore to junior.
And it'll be a year older than a freshman to sophomore jump, by the way.
Yeah, so some exactly, of this stuff, yes.
Look, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. That jump in age, sometimes the information that's soaked in comes in a little quicker.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You can decipher it. You can play through it. You can understand it a little greater.
And that's kind of what I'm hoping happens to me here as I get into the 30s, that I can have one of those jumps, a little bit delayed and start putting two and two together.
Yeah. Speaking of Tafara, by the way, he has started Tech's last 5 games and played more than 20 minutes in 3 of them. So I do think he's starting to get a little more run here as of late.
Well, and I think,
I mean, he is statistically.
Yeah, statistically,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah. And I think that's intentional. I mean, I think Coach Stoudemire is sitting here saying, look, like, this guy is going to be critical for what we want to do in 24 and 25. We can talk about some of the freshmen coming in. We can talk about, again, most everybody on this team has the eligibility to come back. I mean, aside from, I think, Sturdivant and Claude, as far as guys who played against Miami. And to your point about the shorter bench, too, I mean, I look at, Miles, shooting the lights out. You're not taking him out, obviously.
Just about to dive into that, by the way. Miles Kelly talk coming up here in a moment.
Well, I'd get to it right now. I think, he's a guy that, again, if he can find some confidence here. And, last summer was so difficult. There was a coaching change for him. NBA draft stuff was kind of floating around in the air.
Yeah.
Just a lot, come off a huge sophomore year. Now there's a little more stability. We'll see.
Tells me he could have a huge
senior year.
Senior year, right? Because so good a sophomore year. Battle adversity this year, but have some monster ball games.
Yes, right? He knows it's in there.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Now he's fought through it. Maybe he stops thinking about the NBA come this summer, and he really focuses on that senior year, knowing that all the things that he wanted to have a couple of years prior can still be there once he puts together this full season. And man alive, I mean, you could be talking about a guy who, could he be All-ACC first team? Maybe that's probably rich.
I'll say this. Coach Stoudemire said it in his preseason press conference way back in October. He said we need Miles Kelly to be an All-American type of player for us this year if we want to go where we want to go.
Well, he did go for 25 versus Miami. 20 or more points now in 8 games so far this season. 5 inside of the ACC. And he matched his career high in 3-point field goals. Then, again, this from Georgia Tech Sports Information. Matched his career, because I don't just have all these numbers memorized.
You got like 90%.
90%. That's what I was about to say. Yeah,
he matched. I have that one memorized.
He matched the career high. You have my memorization memorized. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay. we're gonna test that a little bit later.
Okay.
Matched a career high. Miles Kelly did for 3-point field goals made with 7 versus Miami. You'll remember he did that versus Syracuse back on the 28th and Notre Dame on January. Wait a minute. Hit Syracuse February 28th? That can't be right. Oh, February 28th last season.
Last season. Yeah, that's – I think
– I don't know how to read.
Yeah, Tech hit –
That's
like,
the
what,
problem.
Was it 33s or something in that game, something like that?
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Man alive. What a ball game that was. Now, one more on Miles Kelly. He now top 10 Tech all-time list in 3-point field goals made. 177 puts him squarely at number 10. Never heard of the guy who's right above him. Some dude named Drew Barry.
DB.
Probably didn't play long.
No. Not at a high level, anyway.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, it's just some fly-by-night guy. It's probably just in here for like a year and a half, had one great year, and that was about it. It's Drew.
Is it, you know?
Hi, Drew.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about something that we'll not be able to talk about with Damon Stoudemire.
Okay.
Because we can't talk about recruiting necessarily. Georgia Tech has apparently earned a verbal commit today from a brand new player, 2025 four-star recruit. Brandon Stone Jr. has committed to Damon Stoudemire. Stores. What'd I say?
Stone.
Yes, store. Stores. I'm
yes.
sorry.
Yeah,
yes, I just misspoke. I beg your pardon. Stores Jr., by all accounts, and I'll be honest with you, for those of you who know me and know Wiley, we cover a little bit of high school sports, so oftentimes we can be a pretty good source and tell you about a lot of these kids whom we will see, like, say, Darren Sutton, who is also a Georgia Tech commit for this class, another four-star kid who I've covered a good bit at the high school side of things. This is a kid I'm not familiar with, so I'm going to give you the bio on one of the websites that I read. Stores Jr., it says, and I'm quoting, is an athletic, explosive wing who plays with great physicality and toughness. He's a good rebounder, versatile defender, and talented offensive weapon who chose the Yellow Jackets over Rutgers and Xavier. So,
where's he from?
St. Raymond School for Boys in New York, obviously.
New York.
I mean, obviously, St. Raymond School for Boys. I mean, you could have guessed that.
Yes, but I'm making a point,
nationally
though, because,
known,
yeah, because I feel like Georgia Tech has had some success the last few decades pulling from the Empire State.
I see what you're doing. You knew it was New York, and you were playing me. I get it. It's like the Spaceballs thing.
Just like the Spaceballs
Just
thing.
Like Spaceballs. Apparently, Stores Jr., the number 133 player ranked in the country, according to the 24 Sports composite ranking. I say apparently, but actually I did pull that up, so I did know that. Number 31 small forward in America. Number 6 player in the state of New York, which, in all seriousness, to your point about the Empire State, if you're number 6 in New York, you're kind of a big deal.
And I'll, yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll even go back. Look, I mean, go back to that Pittsburgh loss that Tech had earlier this year. You know, what was – Coach Capel's comments after the game, feeling like our toughness won that game for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Stoudemire was asked about it. You know, Coach Capel thought it was the toughness. And, you know, what do you think of that? And Coach Stoudemire said, well, if he said that, then that means I need to get a tougher team. And I look at that. I mean, again, maybe I'm just completely just
– I see where you're going
biased,
already. No, no, I get it.
And just obsessed with Jose Alvarado, right? I mean, but you want to talk about – look, Georgia Tech had a lot of talented players in that team that won the ACC title just 3 years ago. Jose Alvarado – the heartbeat of that team. And I remember talking with Coach Pastor in the years afterwards, and one of the biggest challenges that team faced, it wasn't – they had Michael DeVoe. They had Jordan Usher. Mm-hmm. They had guys who had played significant roles on that team. The biggest challenge for that team in the post-Jose Alvarado era was the leadership. And, look, I don't know Brandon Stores Jr. personally. I haven't talked to any coaches, but, again, coming back to toughness, and whether or not – I'm not saying he's going to be the most vocal leader and he'll be the face of the whatever, but – again, I like the idea of getting somebody, again, I know this just sounds stereotypical, but again, we're going back to, whether it's, again, we said Jose Alvarado.
Well,
and it goes way back beyond that with Bobby Crimmins.
That's what Bobby Crimmins did, was built this. I mean, we were New York South.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Kenny Anderson.
Yep.
Starbury.
Yep.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
And
right.
I think that plays. I really do.
Oh, it totally does. Absolutely does. And again, this is now another in the long line of really nice recruits to commit to coach and the program. Four-star Jaden Mustaf, for those of you that do not follow it, is a 2024 kid. So if the Jackets can hold on to him, he'll be in here next year. Number 48 overall in the 24/7 composite rankings. Number 6 at his position. I've not seen him live, but seen a lot of tape on him. He was a kid that was an all-star, all-state, all-star type kid at Carmel Christian. Think they played in a state championship game or won a state championship game. Began his career at Dematha Catholic, whom you may have heard of course. Had a fantastic sophomore and junior year. He's played on numerous national all-star type programs. Then, of course, there is the four-star kid I mentioned a moment ago, Darian Sutton, who is verbally committed to Georgia Tech, but is not signed.
Yes.
So that's the differentiation
yes.
here.
So, I mean, to your point, Mustaf is signed. I mean, at this point,
you're right.
It's published on Georgia Tech's website. Hang on.
I'm sorry. You're right.
No, but I'm just.
No, because I did say that.
Yeah.
You're right. No,
yeah,
so thank you for correcting me. You're right.
Mustaf's going to, you feel that's in writing. That's good to go.
100%. Thank you.
But
yes.
To your point, with Sutton, that's one where it's okay. It looks good. We'll just make sure that, everything gets signed and secured. But. Obviously, Coach Stoudemire made some comments there on Wednesday night about getting his guys in there, and it made some headlines.
Are we going to do this? Are we going to do this now? Are we going to talk about it? All right, well, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw.
Do it. Do it, brother. I'm not afraid to talk about it.
Here's what I'll say.
Okay? I just hope the fan base is not afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. Again, there's a lot of guys in this team who I think Georgia Tech will need to contribute in the years to come, right? I mean, I think, there's a lot of guys in there who I think are his guys. I think the – The first thing I would say is I think if you've listened to these press conferences week after week, after, there's been some frustration building. And I think he's tried to get some attention in the locker room by doing it in a public space. And for whatever reason, again, speculating from where I sit, that message isn't quite hitting hard enough for the locker room. I go back to Wednesday against Clemson. He felt like the last 8 minutes they quit. You know, I'll say this. So many times, I promise you, because I've had the conversations, coaches off the record will say, yeah, we quit. They'll never want to say it publicly. So I don't want to disparage a guy for, you know, I appreciate the candor, you know, giving you the you know, straight dope, if you will. I mean, just kind of shooting straight with you.
Yep.
We can talk about whether you know, everybody's personal taste, if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, whatever.
My issue was the wording.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw my 2 cents in and you continue on. Yeah. I actually don't mind a little bit of a public tongue lashing. My issue might have been a little more with the wording, but continue, please.
And again, I go, you know, it's – yes. So I think that's fair. The other thing I will add is, like, if we talk about getting your guys in, I do think you talk to any college basketball coach, like, yes, you can bring in guys from the transfer portal, sure. I still think there is more talent to be had at the high school level because everybody's not the transfer portal as a sophomore, junior in college. Some guys are settled. Whereas the high school level, I mean, you know, this seems obvious, I guess, but like everybody's a free agent. Like the whole class is up for grabs, if you will, because nobody's committed anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'd sit here and make a case if you're really trying to make those impactful, you know, or trying to make those impactful acquisitions or impactful players to come in, I still think the high school level is a place where you can really make some hay, especially in basketball because, again, those you have freshman sophomores you can contribute at an early age.
I think I'm a little – I don't disagree with you. I think I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think this might be a team that when he gets these two guys in – by the way, the other kid, three-star kid who was also a local kid who had the chance to see Cole Kerouac, no longer a local kid. He's playing at one of these academies, formerly at North Forsyth, a really good-looking player. By the way, and he has signed as well. Since you made that differentiation, that delineation, let me make sure to emphasize that, and thank you for catching me on that. I just misspoke. I think at some point, hopefully, actually, if you catch my train of thought, he's going to need to try to grab a transfer or two.
Oh, no doubt. Because
hopefully he'll be bringing in some 4- and 5-star kids that'll be here for a year, maybe two, and then they jump to the NBA.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And so he'll have to thicken out the roster with a couple of guys that can come in and play 18 to 22 minutes and just kind of fill a certain role. But I do agree with you now in this modern era of instant impact from these kids because, listen, if you're an old school fan out there, I know this is going to be hard to hear, and I'm a guy in my middle 40s who grew up I've been covering high school ball since I was a teenager, literally 15, 16 years old when I was in high school myself, just like Wiley has. Folks, these guys go from senior in high school, playing basketball for their state association, for their high schools. They come and play major Division I college basketball, and they're ready to go.
Oh.
That just is what it is.
And that's true for a lot of sports.
That's right. And so now that you have a guy like Stoudemire who can bring in these recruits, get these high-level guys to come in, you hope that he's going to land the right two or three that are going to make that massive major impact, and I can't help but think that he will.
And we talked about it with Chernoff there, you know, as we transitioned in our show about, you know, recruiting's a big piece of the puzzle here. And, Georgia Tech, you know, has won – you know, had some good seasons in basketball, admittedly not as many as they would like the last 10 to 15 years. I mean, again, ACC championship, top 4 seed in the ACC tournament.
You mean right before I came on?
Yeah.
Right before I started
yes, exactly.
on the network? Great.
Exactly. But, you know, I think he talked to coach at any level. I mean, you know, I remember talking to Bruce Arians about it, who's, you know, longtime NFL coach, Cardinals, you know, coached all the great quarterbacks, da, da, da. I asked him, he's like, you know, what makes a good coach? And he said, oh, good player.
Yeah.
You just your job is that much easier. And I really think if you're going to try and compete at the top of this league, you know, you can do it if you're going to coach everybody up. But, man, it is a lot easier when you've got kids who have the same measurables, athleticism, however you want to describe it, gives you a better shot
recruiting,
in those games.
Recruiting is the lifeblood of college sports. I mean, look, that just is what it is anymore. Why are the Blue Bloods Blue Bloods? The modern-day Blue Bloods, what they are in college football, because they get the best recruits.
Period.
Why are you able to have success as a mid-major at the collegiate basketball level? Because you're recruiting kids that are willing to stay for 5 years. Either way, no matter how you slice the pie, some way, somehow, it comes back to recruiting. Or, of course, you get some five-star kid that comes in and instantly takes you into being a winner. And, of course, it plays into the baseball side of things as well. Speaking of baseball, we'll talk about the Jackets on the diamond when we come back. It was a good weekend for the home club. Wiley was there to see every pitch of it, and he'll let you know how it all unfolded when we come back. You're listening live to The Good Word, live on The Fan, 680-93.7 FM.
At Aikens Ford and Winder, we love trucks, and you'll love our deals on trucks, like 1.9% financing and $10,000 off MSRP on remaining 2023 Ford F-150 XLT crew cab 4x4 pickups. Hi, this is Brad Aikens, and now through February 29th at Aikens Ford and Winder, get 1.9% financing for 72 months and $10,000 off MSRP on remaining 2023 Ford F-150 XLT 302A 4x4 pickups. They also come with Ford's 10-year factory powertrain warranty at no additional charge. So come fall in love with your 2023 Ford F-150 XLT crew cab 4x4 pickup at 1.9% financing and $10,000 off MSRP today at Aikens Ford and Winder. Just 25 minutes east of the Mall of Georgia on our Highway 29. Stock number 49768. MSRP 64,453. Sale price 54,453. Discounts on granted FCTP units. Dealer retains factory rebates plus government fees. With approved financing through Ford Credit, see dealer for details. Visit us today at AikensFord.com.
Hey, it's Chuck Dowdle. When it comes to a checking account, there's no one size that fits all. That's why my friends at Georgia's Own Credit Union offer a variety of checking options to fit your needs. Whether you're looking for a low-cost checking account, like their all-access checking, or something with all the bells and whistles, like their Perks Plus checking with early direct deposit, Georgia's Own has the right choice to save you money. To learn more, visit georgiasown.org today. I'm Chuck Dowdle, and I'm proud to be one of Georgia's Own.
Georgia's Own is federally insured by the NCUA.
Your buddy Chris knows the NFL inside and out, but being able to name the 12 teams that have never been in the Super Bowl won't help much if you've been injured in an accident and need legal guidance. That's when you call an expert. That's when you call Ken Nugent. For over 40 years, Ken and his team have been helping injury victims score the maximum settlement they deserve. So remember, call the experts first, Chris second.
One call, that's all. 404, call Ken.
Kenneth S. Nugent, PC, Attorneys at Law. 1355 Peachtree Street Northeast, Suite 1000, Atlanta, Georgia, 30309.
At Lowe's, save big every day when you buy in bulk. Save 10% on your choice of any three or more A.O. Smith water heaters. Plus, save an extra 5% every day on eligible purchases when you use your Lowe's business credit card. Visit us for the materials you need. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. 5% offer subject to credit approval. Exclusions and terms apply. See store at Lowe's.com/credit for details. U.S. only.
This is The Good Word with Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
Back on The Good Word. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Wiley Ballard and yours truly, Chris Mooneyham. On site here at Hattie B's in Midtown. Make sure you come on out and join us. Great chicken. Well, great everything, but the hot chicken, obviously, their specialty. 7-Eleven, 10th Street, Northwest. 7-Eleven, 10th Street, Northwest. We'd love for you to come on out and join us. And, of course, we're leading you up until 7 p.m. here on the FAN when the Damon Stoudemire Show hits the airwaves. Coming up in our final segment here in just a few moments, we'll preview Georgia Tech versus Florida State. That'll be Saturday down at McCamish, a noon tip. We'll get you prepared for that ball game here in this segment, which is usually our big segment. Might not be quite as long because we kind of riffed on recruiting and the big win over Miami. But we
had a lot of appetizers. We're gonna order the entree light.
That's great.
A lot of appetizers.
That's exactly.
We did a lot of finger food there.
Sweet tea's good, by the way.
Delicious
tonight. Yeah, it's really good. Okay, we're gonna talk about a college sports tradition that may be on the verge of dying. That's up here in about 5 minutes or so. But first things first.
It's not Budweiser.
It's not what?
Budweiser.
Budweiser.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere.
That's not going anywhere.
No.
I just don't want to. I know we're teasing it.
No, that's good.
But I just don't want to be mind to go, what's the worst possible thing that could happen?
Drive off the road.
Exactly.
Right.
It's not Budweiser.
Take out a telephone pole on purpose.
Yes.
Wow, that was dark. I don't know why I said that. Sorry.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Please don't do that. That was really dark. I apologize. We'll talk about that just in a couple of minutes. Good weekend for Georgia Tech on the diamond. 2 out of 3, Wiley. Break it down for us. I know you were there for all of it. I had an extremely busy weekend. Did not see one single pitch live. Did go back and watch highlights of game 1, but let everybody know how the weekend went.
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, Georgia Tech on the season now 6-1. Lost their first game of the season yesterday to Cornell.
Kept them away from the sweep.
They did.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you're facing a team from the Ivy League early in the season, I think the idea was to get a sweep there. They didn't. I'd point out number one Wake Forest has already lost a game to UNCW. We've already seen Vanderbilt lose
Wilmington?
A game. Yeah.
Okay.
So, again, I mean, you know, this is not football, and it's not even basketball. In other words,
right.
You know, I mean, and we all know that.
Best teams are going to lose 15.
Exactly,
games.
Yeah. However, I think there have been a lot of positives. I think Aiden Finitari, to me, has been one of these stories thus far. He's made two starts. He's thrown 11 innings. He's got an ERA below one. He struck out 18 men in that time. He's been pounding the strike zone. And, again, it's not a overly, you know, overwhelming stuff. You know, I don't think he's about to be a top two, three, four-round pick in the MLB draft. But at this level, he can help you win a lot of games. And, you know, you go back to toughness. He's from New England, from Connecticut. And, you know, if you play baseball in that part of the country, you're tough because a lot of those
wicked
games.
Tough.
Yes.
Wicked tough, Wiley. Wicked tough.
So that's been real positive. Drew Burris, local product, Houston
County.
Never
heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
How does 5 home runs and 14 RBI sound for your first 7 games as a college player?
Look, I'm going to tell you flat out, and I didn't mean this in a disparaging way, but I put together a little dissertation on why I was surprised during the state championship series last year that he was not going pro, that he was not going to stay in the Major League Baseball draft. I said, hey, I love that he's going to Tech.
Oh,
you know,
no
because
doubt.
I was always
yes.
was already working for the network. I said, look, I love it. I'm just surprised that he is actually going to go to college. But that says a lot about the kid. Says a lot about what he felt or how he felt about the program.
Yes.
Also, he knew some of the talent that was coming in from the circuit. You know, the baseball mm-hmm. circuit, the travel circuit, the summer circuit. What a great, great get that is.
Huge.
Coach Hall.
And I think I've spoken to Coach Hall about it. I've not spoken to Drew directly about it. But Coach Hall basically said a couple things. One, he wants to be a first-rounder, period. And if they weren't going to take him in the first round out of high school.
Is that what it was? Okay, I did not know that.
That's from Coach Hall. It's not from not from the, you know, the horse's mouth.
You'll find out there for
us, right? Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Want to be a first-rounder, period. And that's a guy who, again, his father runs a travel ball program here in the state. He's known a lot of first-rounders personally.
Yep.
And I think he's got some talent to do so. And quite honestly, I think if he was 3 inches taller, he would have been a first-rounder.
Yeah.
I think if he puts up the numbers that he thinks he can put up at Georgia Tech, I think he could walk out there and be 5'2", and they would say first-rounder. because if you produce at this level, it's just that's what it's going to be. But, he's 5'9". It's so deceiving because – the one that you talk to any scout who saw him play, and it's like, oh, his power's legit. And you're like, really? Guy's 5'9"? He's like, oh, yeah. Like, it's
– Then what's the rub is what I would ask scouts.
Yes. I think there's – again, to be honest with you, if you want to get really in the weeds here.
Please.
I think
– you know I'm a baseball
yes,
guy. That's why
I think there's
we
been
could spend an hour on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, there's been a trend over the last 5 to 10 years to where a lot of professional teams don't really feel the need to overpay to get a high school guy.
Yeah.
They'd rather just let's make sure he hits – see what he does in college, and we'll get him in college. And if we got to pay him a little more, that's okay because now we know we feel our confidence level in him being able to hit major league pitching has gone up tenfold. If you have success in high school, you just don't really know. You have success in the SEC, the ACC, you're going to hit. Like we just the confidence, you will pay the premium to get more certainty on the hit tool.
Now you'll be ready to play sooner
yes,
too at
exactly.
the big league level,
yeah, exactly.
And so basically you're playing minor league baseball.
Yes.
In college.
No, and again, SEC. Yeah. I mean, there's you know, SEC
right.
especially. Like you talk to people in the industry, like they view that as double A.
Yes,
that's how.
No,
good,
no,
I mean,
that was a real comment. I really meant
100%,
that. 100%. Absolutely.
100%. But Drew Burris leads the ACC in home runs through 2 weeks.
Yeah, played an amazing program, by the way, for those of you that do not know, in Middle Georgia at Houston County. I mean, you know, they've done a little winning down there.
Just a wee bit.
I think I said when they won that last championship last year, you know, now you're able to use the D word.
Yeah.
It's a dynasty. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. I mean, it's just been unbelievable. Some of the high-level players that have come through that program. So what's next on the docket? I don't know why I had to phrase it like that. I know exactly what's next on the docket. But how do you feel about I know about it because I've been planning forever and ever to take my boys to go and see it because they're baseball nuts. I've got a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old in the house. But I'm not going to have the opportunity to take them to these games coming up this weekend. And
you're talking about Georgia State tomorrow at 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially at Panthersville.
It is on campus at Georgia Tech.
It's the height of technology
yes.
over there at Panthersville.
My gosh. But yes, you're alluding to UGA.
Yeah.
3-game weekend series.
But you're right.
Yes.
Georgia State comes up first.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock on Tuesday.
Okay, good,
but you know, that's what they'll that's you know All the players over there saying, for Georgia State on Tuesday. I can say, all right, for Georgia this weekend. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
The Dogs' new head coach, Wes Johnson, come from LSU, part of that national championship staff.
That was a great hire. I know we don't care about that, but
yeah. No doubt.
Just journalistic integrity.
Charlie Condon, their first baseman, a projected top 10, if not top 15, overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft.
Yeah.
Good chance he's the top pick in the entire state, both high school and college. But Georgia, as you'd expect, much like Georgia Tech basketball, new coach, tons of transfers and additions. And
they've given up some runs, too, by
yes,
the way.
Yes. They had a tough weekend against Northern Kentucky. I say tough. They won, but they had to really fight, which, look, I mean, again, that happens. It's baseball.
It's baseball. That's,
this is not football where you just, if you win the line of scrimmage, you control the game and you win by three scores. But I think it'll be a good series. Georgia Tech will have it'll be at McNeese Baseball Park on campus, corner of First and Fowler, Friday night at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock first pitch.
Yeah, perk your ears up, everyone. Yes. So you know the schedule here because this is important.
Bundle up, by the way. I've heard it's gonna be a little cold.
Is that right?
Friday night. Yep.
I did not know that. Okay.
But or you can just bring out the big bucks and get that Champions Hall Club access, little indoors privileges, a little bit of some extra beverages might be available for purchase.
Nice plug.
Yes. So Champions Hall, check that out. Saturday in Athens. That is a 2 o'clock first pitch. And then finally Sunday at a Cool-Ray Field, 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So it gets you a little time. You know what? If you want to have a big Saturday night, let me tell you, Mooney, you want to have a big Saturday night, you can sleep in. We're not starting until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you sleep in.
That's good for me. I'm still a big, big party guy.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Massive.
Or maybe that means wake up at 7 a.m. for morning mass, you still get there. I mean, whatever you need to do to be ready for 3 p.m., could be a rubber match, could be one team going for a sweep.
I'll party till 4, I'll go to mass, come home, take a nap, and then hit the road.
You've been doing that every weekend for how many years now?
Old am I?
That's your playbook.
30 years? Wait, that doesn't make sense.
But it will be, I think it will be a good, it'll be a great series. And I think again, it's always kind of the signal of, all right, like now baseball season's coming. Like in some ways, it's almost like, all right, we got the Braves in spring training, Tech and Georgia are playing on the weekend, conference play is about to begin, spring is here, we're changing the clocks. We got sweet tea here at Hattie B's.
Pollen.
What more do we want? Yeah. Well, hey, I got no issue with the pollen. That's mind over matter.
You think so?
I do.
Mind over matter.
And I've been criticized for that.
I mean,
that,
the pollen's real,
opinion.
So.
Yeah, but mind over matter.
You mean you don't let it bother you?
You look at it, you intimidate the pollen before it intimidates you.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. That's what my parents said. Pollen's more afraid of you than you are of it.
So you're like Lion-O in the anointment trials in Thundercats when he said the cold is all in my mind.
Now, that reference, I know Thundercats, like it's an animated series, right?
Uh-huh.
That's all I know. I've never seen an episode.
All right. Well, yeah. I thought I'd try.
Can we get Colwell to bump back in with a Thundercats theme on this side of this break?
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
Do we have the rights to that? Do we need the rights
sure
to that?
Sure, we could play that. Yeah. You know who knows Thundercats is Andy Demetra, who is on site, by the way, ready for the Damon Stoudemire Coaches show coming up at 7 p.m. Speaking of Chris Colwell, back inside our Dickey Broadcasting Studios, I do know that he does have some sound to play, and it plays, if you forgive the pun, into our next segment.
Mark to throw it in, lobs it towards midcourt. It's intercepted by Hildreth, and that'll do it. And the students pour out onto the floor. Wow, this is dangerous. Filipowski's trying to get out of the way. My goodness, they didn't have a better way to get Kyle Filipowski off the floor. And now you've got students and the Blue Devils mixed up at midcourt. Filipowski looks like he's hurt, and that is ridiculous here in Winston-Salem. The students rush the floor, Kyle Filipowski being helped off the floor, and this has turned into a really ugly scene at the end of what should have been a classic basketball game. Kyle Filipowski limping to the locker room. You hope that he's okay. The Blue Devils just trying to get off the floor.
So Wake Forest defeats Duke. The fans storm the court, as fans are wont to do, especially when you beat Duke. And Kyle Filipowski, their star player, caught in the crossfire of fans storming the court. But there is a lot to unpack here. Perhaps he initiated contact with the first fan that came through. Perhaps Duke, and I'm going from one end of the spectrum to the next, so nobody freak out there. Perhaps Duke could have gotten off the court a little bit quicker. It's not as though Filipowski was trying to run off the court or anything. And surely he saw everyone coming at him. Now, could Wake Forest have done something about it? Should something be done about it? Should the fans take more care when they're rushing the court or a field and worrying more about opposing and home players. It's a lot to unpack here. Where do you stand?
Look, I don't like Duke. I kind of like when they lose, to be honest with you. If this is a trust tree, if you will, I like it when Duke loses. I hate to tell you, I also like it when North Carolina loses. I don't really get the whole idea of, we root for Carolina because we hate Duke. I don't really like either of them. So I've got that off my chest. I'll be honest, I really think this is just, for me, this is like 95% on Wake Forest and crowd control. I'm sorry. I don't like Duke. I don't mind seeing them lose. But, you know, and you just, you've got to be able to protect the players, period. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of other angle on that. And you want to sit here and say, you know, Filipowski shouldn't have initiated something? It's like, well, he should not have to worry about dealing with that.
Also true.
You know, and again, like, do I think the overhead camera where you can kind of see him sort of shoving the guy, it's in slow motion. I always get uneasy trying to interpret things in slow motion. I want to see it real time. What does it look like? But even if he is trying to shove that guy, it's not a good look for Filipowski. But, like, at some point, like, how much are we asking these – I mean, we all know what gets said, including at Cameron Indoor, by the way. Like, Cameron Indoor is not – as far as heckling and comments and all these jeers and things – players got to ignore that.
It's like playing in the Bronx.
You know what I'm saying? Like, players got to ignore that. They've got to deal with the taunting. They got to deal with all the stuff, and that's fine. That's showmanship. But at some point, you know, I don't see that. Oh, Filipowski's a sore loser. Give me a break. Like, he's lost a basketball game before. He's fine. What he hadn't dealt with is a bunch of kids running at him. And look, he's going to have a target on his back because he's really good and is going to. He's a big deal. He plays for Duke and all that.
You're not an advocate of getting rid of the court storming, though. Or are you?
No, I don't want.
See, that's where it becomes tough.
Well, I don't think it. Can we just get like a rope or something? I mean, I've seen that done before. Like, I'm not saying quit the court storm. I'm saying hold them for 5 seconds.
I've had this idea. And that's where I was about to go. I've had this idea before, and I saw someone far more famous than me tweeted this out, and so it actually started to gain some traction because you know I put stuff out on Twitter. Yeah. Nobody noticed.
You're nice to say that. I retweeted you. That's thank you. I'm just kidding. I haven't reposted it.
Yeah. Look, I put stuff out there and nobody cares. Whomever this was, and to be honest with you, I don't know who it was, but what if it becomes common knowledge now in college basketball, college football, that if you want to rush the court or to rush the field, the big scoreboard,
like a call to action,
at Bobby Dodd Stadium, Hyundai Field, sets to a minute, or the big scoreboard at McCamish resets to a minute, and they say you got a minute to get off the field. Then we're going to let them
the visitors,
lose.
Yes,
yeah, or anyone who wants to get off for that matter. Because sometimes a home team wants to get off.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's the famous Reggie Jackson, Chris Chambliss type deal of him, you know, fighting people to get off when he hit the
78 pennant. Yep.
Yep. Which, by the way, Howard Cosell just absolutely steals the call from Keith Jackson. Yeah. Anyway, you know Keith Jackson refused to work with him after that.
I've heard guys in those jobs don't really – they're just very humble, no egos, you know, no bruised.
Yeah, play-by-play guys,
yeah,
right?
No ego.
Especially when it's a pennant-winning World Series home run. But but what do you think about that idea? Something that becomes a standard that allows for both sides to be protected.
I mean
– Is that a fantasy land thing?
I wholeheartedly would accept the concept. I think it feels a little like trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. You know, I think realistically, you put some language up there and say, hey, like, you know.
When are you going to put up a rope, though?
When?
You can't put up a rope during a timeout late in the game.
No, but I'm saying you've got security on the floor, right? Like, you've got.
Yeah, but the rope thing only works like with blowouts.
What do you mean? Oh, if it's like a buzzer beater?
No, what if somebody?
Yeah. That's
plus,
fair.
Plus, that's not common in the NBA, and that's why you see that like during the NBA finals and the playoffs and things like that. You don't have court storming there. It's going to be real, real hard, brother, to put up a rope around McCamish when Duke comes in next year and we beat him by 37.
You think it's going to be that close?
Well, I mean, you know. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's on the school though. You've got it's on the arena, right. and that's a heck of a problem. And then they got it. do what they want to do. If the school says they can't handle it and you got to outlaw cord storming, then fine. I'd like to think that you can find a way to, you know, whether it's employing more security or, again, you also know going into a game, like, you know, if Georgia Tech beats, you know, Boston College, you're not going to worry about cord storming.
Yeah.
If you got Duke coming in, like, all right, we need to have a cord storming plan. It's not something you have. If you want to bring in some extra personnel for that, you can factor that in. You know, and again, Lord knows I'm not working with a budget. I'm not working with facilities. I mean, you and I are just two guys talking on the radio, just spitballing ideas that somebody with more knowledge might say to the guys.
I hate to say this, but you know who ought to get involved and help a plan be formed, which means it'll never happen. The NCAA.
I thought you were going to say Miller Pope.
No, Miller will have a. You ask Miller for a plan, he'll have one hammered out in an hour and a half.
I'm going to be honest.
You go to the NCAA, and it'll take us a year and a half.
I feel like the NCAA being asked to handle that is like a homeowner being asked to, like, hey, you're like, you know, you've got a hose leaking in your yard and your house is on fire. Like, that's a problem, but we got a bigger problem. We got to figure out roster. Yeah. At this current moment in time,
that's fair.
God bless the NCAA. I don't think they can take on the court storming thing.
That's fair.
But yeah, bottom line is, I don't think. Again, I would say at least 90%, if not all of it, is on Wake Forest. And I shouldn't even say, like, not that it wouldn't have happened at another school. Like, it's on.
They were out there quick.
They were.
They were out there quick. By the way, Deal or No Deal is back.
Well, it's on an island, though, isn't it? Is that what
Deal
I saw?
Deal or No Deal is back. I used to love that damn
show.
But
it's on an island now, right?
Well, yeah. What's better than Deal or No Deal? Put it on an island.
Different host, too.
Thank you, Chris Colwell. I don't know if your voice just went out over the air, but he just said different host. And that's another great point. Who was that? Was that
Howie Mandel?
No.
Howie Mandel was the old guy.
Joe Manganiello.
Yeah. It was Joe Manganiello, right, yeah. Who was, of course, most famous for being Sofia Vergara's husband, obviously. Yeah, see?
I hope. Can I just
see? And Miller Pope just said, oh, yeah, that guy.
Can I say this? That's actually a goal. I want
to be Sofia Vergara's husband?
No, she's. I bet she's in a very happy relationship. I don't want to mess that up. Good for her. They found love.
Well, you're a nice guy.
What I'm saying is I want when somebody says Wiley Ballard to go, oh, my God, that's so-and-so's husband. That's what I want.
That is absolutely a life goal.
That's what I'm shooting for.
I'll tell you another life goal, getting a victory down at McCamish on Saturday when the Noles come a-calling. We'll preview the ball game next. This is The Good Word, live on The Fan, 680 93.7 FM.
Take the leap this year and experience the luxury and performance of a new Audi SUV. Finn here with a special leap year offer for my friends at Audi Atlanta. Right now, the pros at Audi Atlanta can get you behind the wheel of a new Audi Q3 for only $400 per month. Built to fit your lifestyle, the Audi Q3 features the perfect balance of smart design and everyday functionality. And hey, with the extra day this month, you'll have even more time to enjoy your Audi driving experience. The Audi Q3, available now at Audi Atlanta for $400 per month. For more details, visit AudiAtlanta.com. You can always use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop in person with the help of an Audi expert. Conveniently located on Peachtree Boulevard, just inside the perimeter, a new Audi is closer than you think when you shop at my dealership, Audi Atlanta.
Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi Q3 40 Premium Quattro. $400 per month, 10,000 miles per year with $37.94 due at signing. Example stock number U57653. MSRP $40,840. Excludes tax, title, and state fees. Offer expires February 29th, 2024 with approved credit.
At the Piedmont Bank, we're proud to be one of Georgia's largest community banks, focusing on serving businesses and the communities they serve. With headquarters right here in Metro Atlanta, our tailored banking expertise and solutions help meet the diverse needs of our customers so they have what it takes to grow, expand, and thrive. It's what elevates us above the rest. Find a location near you at Piedmont.bank and experience elevated banking for you and your business. The Piedmont Bank. Banking elevated. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
When you're looking for leading cardiac care, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 95% patient recommendations. You could say we're number one in the heart of Georgia. We lead with 100 dedicated cardiovascular doctors, so you'll know your heart is in the best hands. We lead with compassion, because you are at the heart of our care. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Sweeper takes care of his too. now the hair's gone. All thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper Heavy Duty Dry Cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
It's time to sting 'em. And Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard are bringing you the good word from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
A deep 3 miles. Oh, and that's good. 11 all. A step back 3 miles. Kelly. Good. Rattles it down. Little slide step to get some separation on O'Meara. It's his second knockdown from downtown for Miles. Kelly, a step back 3 left side angle. Knocks it down. And Georgia Tech takes the lead 50-49. Kelly left corner 3. Good. He drew 3 defenders and rocketed it across to Miles for a 5th 3 of the night. Kelly, a pull-up 3 left wing. Good. Ooh. Oh, Miles, cold-blooded, yes, in the face of Joseph.
Andy Demetra knows about Panthro. Andy Demetra knows about Tigra. Welcome back. It's a good word.
What's it going to take for us to make this part of the intro video for Georgia Tech men's basketball?
I would
in arena. Can you imagine that?
This is the only show you'll find on Atlanta radio that plays the Thundercats theme coming back from break. I can guarantee you that. That's Wiley Ballard. I'm Chris Mooneyham, for many reasons, by the way. Just a few moments left here on The Good Word. 7 p.m., Damon Stoudemire Show coming up next on the FAN. This weekend, Coach will be getting ready for this weekend, the Florida State Seminoles, Saturday on the 2nd. Down at McCamish, it's a noon tip. Noles have NC State coming up tomorrow night. Up to now, Leonard Hamilton's crew has lost 4 of their last 5 since their 5-game winning streak in ACC play a little earlier this year, which started versus Georgia Tech, by the way, back in January. Noles just 3-7, 14-4 overall, 14-14 overall, I beg your pardon, 8-8 inside of the conference. But a club that has been at times sneaky good, number 2 in the conference in team steals. They're forcing 14 turnovers per ball game. The steals, by the way, 9.3, if you're wondering, for the team per ball game, which, of course, at times been a bugaboo for this Georgia Tech club. So it's going to be important to protect the basketball if you're Georgia Tech. And they're forcing turnovers, besides the steals, 14 per ball game for their opponents. Going to be so important for Georgia Tech to not only shoot the basketball well, obviously, in a ball game like this and Florida State's length, which may not be quite what it has been in the past, but it's not a bad defensive club.
No, it's not. And I think for me, the biggest takeaway I have from this past Saturday against Miami, we touched on in our first segment, was the way Georgia Tech defended in the second half. And I think, you know, you saw a game against Florida State, you know, back in January that, you know, Tech got down big, 13 points at half. They put up 52 points, Georgia Tech did, in the second half. But they couldn't put a dent in it because they gave up 50.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, we've seen Georgia Tech, especially this past Saturday, they've been able to score at a high level. The question I have is, how will they defend, particularly in the second half when, you know, 9 times out of 10 at the basketball, you know, any level, whether it's college, you know, NBA, whatnot, you know, second half defense has played such a critical role, and that's been a challenge for the team this year.
Getting pressure, speaking of defensively, on Jalen Warley could be nice, as he's become quite the deft little ball handler. 3rd in the ACC in assist to turnover ratio, which, by the way, for those of you who don't realize, Nate George number 2 in that category.
Yep.
So that's going to be very, very important to try and snuff out the offense a little bit of Florida State.
100%. And again, I think you got the pieces. We talked about Tafari Gapari, the impact he had in that game on Saturday that, you know, may not have shown up entirely on the stat sheet. But, you know, the more Tafara can do defensively, I think that allows his teammates to be able to take that extra gamble, that extra risk, if you will. And I'm excited, that, like we talked about, he's been getting a lot more run here recently, and I'm excited to see where he goes into this offseason, getting ready for next year.
Jackets defensively also will have to key on Jameer Watkins, who now has scored double figures inside of the ACC in 13 consecutive ball games, which is number four in the conference.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you got guys who are starting to find their rhythm. You know, I'd sit there and raise you, but we have Miles Kelly just dropped 25. You know, I think he's a guy for Georgia Tech that is, again, hopefully beginning to find his stride a little bit, trying to finish up, you know, on a high note. And, look, we've also got a couple of guys who will be playing their final game at McCamish Pavilion, Tyjon Claude, Kyle Sturtevant. Excited to see those guys on the floor.
That'll be this Saturday on the 2nd at McCamish. Again, a noon tip between the Jackets and the Noles. And of course, we'll be on the air with the Georgia Tech pregame show, the tip-off show on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports, a half hour prior at 11:30 a.m. For Wiley Ballard and our entire crew, I'm Chris Mooneyham. Thanks for joining us. This has been The Good Word. Damon Stoudemire coming up next on The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM.
Thanks for joining us for The Good Word. Chris and Wiley have the latest on the Yellow Jackets every week following the Coach Brent Key Show from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.